I wish I had that Bible. Deanna was in a motel room. She had lost her job, her apartment, everything. She had nothing. She did nothing. She looked through drawers, open, close, repeat. There was a Gideon Place Bible. Deanna opened it, but nothing was familiar. She tossed it back in the drawer and left to wander the empty streets. It was late and she was lost. She had nowhere to go. Deanna went into a convenience store. Since she had nothing better to do, she spotted the apartment guide and started thumbing through it. It was free but boring. I wish I had that Bible. The thought appeared unbidden. Are you thinking of moving? A voice interrupted her. An older woman had appeared, and when she saw Deanna's confusion, she pointed to the apartment guide in her hands. Oh no, just looking because it's free, Deanna responded. Well, I have another book that's free, if you want it, the woman said. What do you mean? Deanna asked. She could feel suspicion creeping into her heart. I have a Bible. Deanna's heart started to race. She was just thinking about the Bible, wishing for it. Deanna didn't respond, overwhelmed by her thoughts. Would you like it? The woman asked. Deanna almost said no, but something or someone stopped her. You know what? She replied, I would. Thank you. It was the strangest thing. Relief flooded through her body in a way she'd never experienced before. Peace came over her. Deanna had the strongest sense that she was saying yes to something more, something greater than just a Bible. So she accepted God's word and began to read. Deanna started going to church. She prayed for God to live in and through her. She prayed for freedom from her addictions and other temptations, and he made her whole. The Gideons are an association of Christian business and professional men. The wives help us as an important part of the ministry, serving in the auxiliary. Our sole purpose as an organization is to win others to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do this through associating together for service, personal witnessing, and placing copies of God's word where people are at, in places like hotels and motels, hospitals and nursing homes, schools, colleges and universities, fairs, to members of the military, and police and fire stations. The Gideons have placed over 2 billion scriptures worldwide since 1908. We are organized in 200 countries and self-governing territories around the world. We are a missionary extension of the local church. Isaiah 55 promises that God's word does not return void, but will accomplish his purpose and succeed in the thing for which he sent it. I'd like to give you some updates on how the ministry's been going in this past year. It's been a year like any other. I'll go back to start with last fall. We were getting into a lot of the nursing homes and it seemed like God was really opening up doors for us to go into nursing homes. We were getting to about one a week. We didn't know that COVID was coming, but God did. And when COVID came, the nursing homes were hit pretty bad. But God knew back last fall that people needed to hear the good news of salvation. Back in 2019, we went to the jail in Ludlow 3 times. And the jail population was down, so there was some of the pods were vacant, but we were able to go to all the jail pods each time we went. We haven't been there since last December, and we were praying recently that we would be able to get some Bibles to the chaplain at the jail. Well, a day or two later, one of our members got a call from the jail chaplain asking for Bibles. So that was an answer to prayer. Well, we've been restricted in a lot of our regular distribution places. The Big E was canceled this year. We didn't get to UMass like we usually do in the fall. We usually have some big city blitzes in Boston and New York that didn't happen this year. But God's still been working. From March 15th to May 15th, we had a 2-month pause on all our ministry activities. But we were still able to continue our prayer meetings through Zoom. And we had members that hadn't been attending, were able to attend the prayer meetings. And that's been happening in a lot of the local camps around the country. And now that we're back in person, we've had more members attending than had been before. We've been putting an emphasis on personal witnessing using the personal workers' testaments like I'm holding up and sharing our personal testimonies with people around us. During the height of the April surge, we were getting requests from Bay State Hospital and Mercy Medical Center for Bibles, and we were able to fulfill those requests. And currently there's a ministry-wide emphasis on getting to first responders, fire stations and police stations. We fill up baskets with New Testaments and put little snacks in there and take them to the police stations and fire stations. And they've really shown appreciation for us coming in there and remembering them and giving them the testaments. And I'll share a short testimony from someone who, from an auxiliary member in Texas, who writes, "Turn, the store hadn't been open in weeks due to the shelter in place order, except for outside pickups. I wasn't sure if they would take returns, but I went anyway. At the pickup area, a young woman approached my truck, introduced herself as Ruby, and said she would gladly help with my return. I was told to park in another designated area and walk while Ruby printed off my receipt. When she returned, I thanked her and engaged in a bit of small talk about the COVID-19 situation. It was evident she was in need of some hope and encouragement. I told Ruby I had a gift for her and presented a testament. I showed her where she could sign her name in the front, and we walked through the plan of salvation together. Ruby read John 3:16 aloud, and I asked what it meant to her. If we love God, we will be with him forever. She got it. We walked through the other verses before I prayed over her. Ruby told me she'd never prayed like this before, but she wanted to. After Ruby prayed, she signed her name at the back of the New Testament and put the data in there. She shared, I shared my church and service times with Ruby. She was so thankful. She had just moved from California and was in deep need of community, especially in the face of social distance. Ruby sincerely expressed her appreciation for our time together in our conversation. She got to see how followers of Christ are all about pursuing deep, life-giving relationships. So we really need your continued prayers for the ministry, for direction, and for reopening places of distribution after this whole pandemic is over. In the past few years, the church has sent a gift to the Gideons at the end of the year from money left over in the missions budget. And when I was sharing with the guys I pray with on Saturday mornings yesterday that I was going to be sharing here this morning about the Gideons, they wanted to make sure that I said, thank you. Thank you all for your support of the Gideons. And I didn't bring any bulletin inserts like I usually do. We don't even have bulletins. But if you want more information about the Gideons, go to gideons.org. If you would like to give something to Gideons, you can leave it in the offering basket or send it along with your regular tithes and offerings. And in addition to your regular offerings, we also have cards that you can send in someone's honor or memory, designating so many gifts, so many Bible is in that person's honor or memory and send a gift to the Gideons. Back in February, after Andy Fairfield passed away, Sally was sharing with me how people from North Dakota that were friends of theirs were sending cards designating Bibles in Andrew's memory. All the money that we raise goes to print and distribute scriptures. Our overhead is covered by the dues at the Gideon's pay each year. So I'd like to thank you, Mark, for letting me share a few minutes about what God's doing through the Gideons. Now Mark will be coming to give our sermon.
Thanks, Doug. It's always good to hear about the Gideon's work and your participation in it. We appreciate, you know, all that you do. Okay, these are, what can you say? Strange days. I had a good opportunity to get out on, believe it or not, on the motorcycles yesterday with a very good friend of mine. Usually we have a good sized group. Yesterday it was just me and him. It wasn't because of the weather necessarily. You know, people say to people a lot, and if you make plans with me to hike or do just about anything, ski, I try to go no matter what, because I always think if you wait around for perfect days, then you never go anywhere. But it was interesting that it was supposed to be sunny, and we didn't even get the sun. And this friend of mine is just a great guy. And the COVID stuff and all the things that are going on, and one of the first times that I've been with him, and you know, I've known him for at least 11 or 12 years, he wasn't, you know, that positive. We were talking about it, and the clouds over us sort of reminded us, I think, that the whole nation, the whole world is under this cloud, and we just need so much to take heed to the words of scripture that are there to encourage us and to encourage one another through the words of scripture. Last week we started in Proverbs chapter 3, and I went through the first few verses. What I'm doing this morning is we've had additional items in our worship service, so worked out good for me just to be able to split that sermon in half and finish up the second half this morning. So let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And I think it really connects well with some of the things we've been talking about this morning. I think I'll read all of the verses 1 through 8 and then really focus this morning on 5 through 8. But let's look at the Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. I can't stress enough how much Proverbs talks about operating from the heart, not just the mind, but from the center, like our intellect, our emotion, our feeling, our will, our center. Work with my commands. We talked about commands. What are the commands? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And all that heart, soul, mind, and strength is kind of the same of that center of the heart where our relationship with God is meant that we're supposed to connect with him deeply at that center. And I think, too, with one another deeply from that center. Keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them again on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man, God and others. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Just want to say one more thing about that word heart. Hopefully we're getting it, that center, that core of our being, our consciousness, our will, our inner motivations, turn them all over to God. Fascinating to me that also when we look earlier in Proverbs where wisdom is speaking and says that I will give you my heart if you seek me. And there the word is actually ruah, which is spirit. I will give you my spirit if you seek me. And it's like the heart of wisdom. And when we think of the heart of wisdom, we think of the heart of Christ will blow into us as we open ourselves, as we open our hearts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does trust mean? What does trust mean? Trusting is what? To rely on, to put our confidence in, to depend on, to find our security in the Lord, all of those things. When we think about that trust, you know, confidence, depend, and everything else. And I'd like to suggest one more thing this morning as we think about that trusting in the Lord with all the tensions surrounding us now, the illnesses that are going around, the COVID crisis, the political crisis right now, it doesn't matter what your persuasion is, it's all unsettling as you're thinking about our nation, the current concerns we have. And I'd like to think of the idea of trust in the Lord is almost relax in the Lord if you possibly can. Set your sights on him and lay back into his arms. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on yourself, but lean on him. Recline into the arms of God and trust him. Jesus, of course, in John chapter 14, verses 1 and following, he says, trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I go there to prepare a place for you. And we know that through Christ we have eternal life now, and in that promise we have life promised in the presence of God forever. And we need to look up, like the psalm said, I lift my eyes up, where will my help come from? My help is in you, God. Lay back, relax, lean on God if you possibly can. This takes practice. This takes determination. This takes really setting that time to open the scriptures and listen to the voice of God during these times. Take time to be with God. Our own understanding, we don't understand so much. Medical people don't understand. Things are just beyond us. And the advice not to lean on our own understanding for anything. It's really good in this sense too, that first of all, we have one another to turn to when we don't understand things. And hopefully we're all sitting back and resting and taking in information. I talked last week about managing the church. It's so good to be able to talk things over with others as leaders in the church and not say, oh, it's all my responsibility to carry this body. And we'll be moving a little bit further into not only the elders would I depend on for advice in managing the church and even talking about things in life, but we all have one another, as Karen was saying, during the prayer time, in the opening times of our service, to lean on each other, to turn to each other. And those of us who are needing to stay separated physically, now is a time when those devices that we used to complain about people had their faces in all the time, through those devices we can connect. And so that is a blessing that we have during these days. The HBFs are up and running on, you know, just I've said it over and over again, don't disconnect. Lean on God, lean on one another. Going on. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Denise and I, when we first really came to an understanding of the faith, and we were going to a church, the pastor at the church that we were attending left, and we got an interim pastor, and he said, people sometimes ask him, what does it mean all? What is all your, cast all your cares on him? Trust God with all your heart. And he would just go, all means all. Everything, everything in your mind, everything in your heart, give it all to God, all to God in all your ways. Everything you do, acknowledge him, contemplate and pray. Later in scripture, we get to it, we'll be turning to a place where Paul writes, and quoting from the Old Testament, wake up, O sleeper. And I was talking to Denise this morning about how, okay, we read this, I'm supposed to preach on this, and yet in my life practice, and I kind of like the word practice, I always forget. I just plow ahead, and then often, so often, God is an afterthought. And God wants us to turn our lives around and to begin to understand that, pray continually. So no matter what we're doing, the first step we take, we look to God and take it with him. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. All means all. Be awake, be aware. Practice walking with God. Pray continually. Verses 3, 7, and 8 is what I really want to think about today. I think it again, speaks to us in a deep way about how we view ourselves, where wisdom comes from. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. The scripture talks about the idea of a realistic view of ourselves. We talked about being humble isn't necessarily to feel bad about ourselves, except that we understand that we're sinners and we need the gospel, we need the forgiveness of Christ. We all need to kind of hit that bottom and recognize our need for forgiveness. And only through Christ is anything good, or is there forgiveness. But then on the other hand, we're created by the hand of God. And God, as he created, said, it is good. The creation is good. Man and woman are good. All of it is good. And so there's that sense that we are God's creation. We are beloved by God. And therefore, we have value. But looking at ourselves realistically, then, we need to view our eyes, ourselves, through the eyes of God. We need to think about that. And again, that we do through relationship. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but learn to live with that consciousness of God, with that connection with reality, both the good and bad about ourselves, and seek God's help to continue to strengthen us to do good and to exercise our gifts, and also to have him pour out his spirit to enable us to repent and turn around when we need to. So that idea of humility really is seeing things how they are, seeing ourselves as we are, seeing God for who he is, and humbling ourselves before him. Do not be wise in your own eyes. I was reading that in Romans chapter 12. Was what came to my mind. And well, let's just look at Romans chapter 12, because I think it goes hand in glove with this section of Proverbs. Not thinking more of ourselves than we ought to, not being wise in our own eyes. So Romans chapter 12, it was read as a scripture reading, and I did that deliberately so that we hear it a couple times, and Margaret used a different translation, so that always gives us a sort of a different angle on things. So let's look at Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Again, that idea of giving yourselves fully to God, a sacrifice. That means laying down your life before God, turning yourself over for him to be able to use you and gift you and help you to be a part of his work in this world and part of his ministry to the church. living sacrifices is what we're called to be. And actually, a word like that can kind of hit us as difficult and say, is that something we have to strain to do? And actually, I think it's a letting go. It's a laying our lives before God. And again, I want to go back to that idea of trying to let everything go and lean on God, not leaning on our own understanding, but leaning on him, offering ourselves, laying back our lives into his hands. Being living sacrifices is our spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. Turn to God, turn to him for his power to transform us, to transform our minds, that we will think in his ways, not in the ways of the world. And then we will be able to fulfill his will. Then he will make our path straight. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So I just see these passages, and well, scripture just does fit together in so many ways. And that's one of the reasons why we believe in inspiration so much, because it's the same author of scripture, Old Testament or New Testament, bringing it all together. Okay. So we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance to the measure of faith God has given you. Okay, I just went through that idea of thinking of ourselves realistically, thinking of ourselves and seeking God to try to see through his eyes this world and ourselves realistically. Not thinking too highly of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves realistically with sober judgment. I like that word, sober judgment. I grew up in a period where 1970, I started high school. 1970, drugs really hit the high school hard. Same time, I had been in the colleges before that, but in 1970, I was entering high school and all of these lists of drugs, hallucinogens and all kinds of different really strong stuff that nobody really knew what it was. And many of us had experiences with that. And as you move through those times and realize it's not working out so well and whatever it is that we are using to kind of drug ourselves or to make everything okay through an artificial substance, just people were falling left and right. People I knew, people I cared about, people I loved, it wasn't working. So that word sober, and some folks have had alcohol be a problem where they couldn't find sobriety. And what does that mean? It means this clearness of mind, that there's no substance, there's nothing artificial. It's just that we have clarity of mind. And by the time I was 20, I started to think, what you need to do is fall in love with a clear mind, and then you'll never want all of these different substances and things that will take away that clarity of thought and in your mind. You have to fall in love with that. And how do you do that? Again, you need God's help to turn away from whatever pulls you into this world. Can't do it by ourselves. You know, the AA people say you gotta hit bottom and then fall to your knees, and then you can possibly be lifted up if you continue to practice the principles of AA, or if you continue to practice the principles of scripture. But that sober mind, that realistic mind, that unimpaired mind. Think about those words and you think about them deeply, and man, I want an unimpaired mind. And how do we get it? We get it through taking care of ourselves, turning to God all the time, and we get a good understanding of who we are in God's sight, scripture. We can look at our lives through scripture, and then we can also look at one another with the love and understanding and compassion that God has, that realistic view of God, and yet it's a compassionate view from God. So it's just as going to verse 4. It talks now about, verse 4 is shifting gears. I've been talking pretty much about how our own relationship with God, works here. But it's fascinating to me that now Paul has talked about that. Get yourself correct with God. Get yourself right with God. Take on God's eyes. Look at yourself correctly. Look at yourself soberly. Look at yourself with an unimpaired mind. And then let's think about the body. Just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so it is in Christ. We who are many form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. So we're moving on from here, from the beginning part, it talks about looking at ourselves correctly as God gives us the faith to do so. And then Paul turns the corner and saying, keep in mind that you don't do it all yourself, but each one is gifted. And so we all need one another, that need to connect, the need to connect, to listen to each other, that need to encourage one another, the need to show mercy to one another. Karen said at the beginning of our worship service today, each of us have different personalities. Each of us have different roles to play. And that's so much reinforced here by the scripture. And when it comes to gifting, it's always connected with each one is gifted according to the Spirit to serve one another. The gifts are given for the common good. So it's so important. We find so many ways to continue to serve one another, to serve one another in these days that do shake us up so much. So I want to move to closing with Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 21. Again, I think it's another passage that goes hand in hand with the things that we've been thinking about this morning. It's a beautiful passage about Christ's work within us and within the church. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8. For you were once in darkness, gloom, a cloud over us. But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Seek the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Again, that clarity, that light shining into everything around us to see with God's eyes, that we would have a light that exposes both good and bad, and we would be able to walk wisely with God. For it is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. And that is why it says, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So it's so easy when you think about the people who aren't sober. What happens is they're just lulled away. They just are kind of escaping and just want this artificial substance to smooth everything out over them. They want to go to sleep, right? And just forget about it all. But God says, wake up. Things are tough. Okay, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We wake up. We open our eyes. We open our hearts to tremendous hope that we have a Savior who wants to shine on our lives, to fill our hearts, our minds with his life. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. It just takes us down. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Paul says, don't get drunk. Don't let sobriety slip from your hands, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, thinking of that invitation that goes back into Proverbs. Wisdom is calling out to you, and if you respond, whoosh, ruach, I will blow into your heart the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God, the reality of God, the person of Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. And then finally it shifts again to us being together as a people. It's, you have this instruction about, okay, what are we to do individually? Wake up, have our eyes open, connect with God. And then verse 19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Together, worshiping together, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's all of us together, turning our eyes to God, worshiping together in every way that we can possibly get together. And so thankful that we have the technology and the ability to do it. Even if it doesn't always work smoothly, we still hear one another. So we need to be awake. We need to be sober. We need to be seeking God. Let's pray. Father, it is good to have your word. And it's even greater to have your Spirit within our hearts that you have promised to us to quicken our eyes, that we might see clearly, that you would expose our flaws and you would expose the flaws of the world, that we would understand things that are wrong and we might have insights into how we might help. We thank you that you've given the Spirit not to us just individually, but to the church, so that if we are overwhelmed and need encouragement, Lord, help us to seek a friend in the church. Help us to seek another member of the body who will build us and lift us up. We are so grateful to be your people, to be forgiven by you, and to be able to worship you together, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. And our closing hymn is number 346. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. For announcements, Amy has the angel tree happening. She sent the email out. And did anyone want to comment? Or there's also the Good Samaritan boxes that are.
So there's going to be another email about angel tree coming up soon.
Okay.
But I do have requests today. Anybody in person wants them.
Okay. Anyone who wants to help with that angel tree project and a number of different options. There's giving. There's shopping. And there's also delivery eventually. So a lot of help with that would be appreciated. It's a good program. Denise and I have done some deliveries. And it's good to participate. And you'll learn about some new roads and things in the area too, sometimes. Okay, and then we also have the Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes that's happening. So watch for those emails and and participate in those things as much as possible. It's good to have the Lundgrens with us today. And sorry, apologize to you people at home that we can't run the violins through the sound system and play the recording at the same time. That's our limitation in Zoom, but it's certainly nice to be here and to have this participation of the body of Christ and have you with us. We appreciate that very, very much. Okay, other announcements?
I got one, Mark.
Okay.
From the cheap seats. It's Hannah's birthday yesterday, so if we could wish my daughter a happy birthday. She's loving to hear it from our church.
I'm 8 years old now.
Very, very good.
And I also got walkie-talkies for my birthday.
All right, some happy stuff happening.
Some important things there. There we go. That was her up there. Okay.
We can see her up on the corner. Good. Happy birthday.
There we go.
Okay, I want to close a benediction with from Psalm 25. Starting at verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. My hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways according to your love. Remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Amen. Have a good week, everyone.